all of the things that President Trump did unilaterally, they can do unilaterally as well, or they can undo unilaterally.
Immigration changes face President-elect Biden. It's Monday, December 28th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online as well at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Thailand's classical music, virus hairstyles, movies survive the pandemic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to swiftly reverse some of President Donald Trump's most contentious immigration policies when he takes office on January 20th. VOA immigration reporter Alina Barros looks at Biden's plan to act on policies affecting refugees, asylum seekers, and DACA recipients.
Travel bans, restricting the asylum and refugee systems, family separations, pushing to abolish DACA. These are some of President Donald Trump's immigration policies. The president-elect Joe Biden has promised to reverse. Analysts say the incoming president will likely issue executive orders to overturn these policies.
All of the things that President Trump did unilaterally, they can do unilaterally as well, or they can undo unilaterally. So, for example, the travel ban, I would expect to be vacated almost immediately. The refugee cap, I think, will be changed immediately. That's something that's clearly in the president's power to do.
President Trump's efforts to end DACA, with the deferred action for childhood arrivals, sparked large protests during his 4 years in office.
Say it clear! Immigrants are welcome here!
The Obama-era program shields from deportation people brought illegally to the United States as minors. Trump said the program amounts to illegal amnesty, but promised to help DACA recipients if Congress acted.
I have a love for these people, and hopefully now Congress will be able to help them and do it properly.
But Congress did not act, and DACA's fate became embroiled in the courts. The most recent court ruling on the issue orders U.S. immigration agencies to fully reinstate the DACA program. But DACA opponents vow to keep challenging it in court. And untangling other immigration guidelines will take time.
But in terms of unwinding the asylum policies of the Trump administration, that's going to be a deep and complicated affair.
As part of his pledge to control the border with Mexico and stop illegal immigration, Trump created the Migrant Protection Protocol, also known as MPP. The MPP requires migrants to stay in Mexican border cities while waiting for their immigration court hearings in the United States. Experts say undoing that and reinstating asylum protections will be the most difficult.
I think they're probably going to slow walk that issue. Certainly early on in the administration, they'll stop enrolling new people in MPP or remain in Mexico.
Proponents of President Trump's immigration policies say the changes were needed.
What the Trump administration tried to do is get back to her original intent, congressional intent, when Congress set up many of these programs. And I think that is overall the focus that the administration had in making many of the changes.
As for the refugee program, which under the Trump administration, admissions reached a record low, Biden has pledged to raise the refugee cap to 125,000. But analysts say much work lies ahead.
In many cases, the agencies responsible for refugee resettlement have been decimated. The people who are working there are now working on other issues, right? A lot of people have left those jobs because we haven't been welcoming refugees for a long time. So we need to rebuild these agencies and make them stronger and better than they were before.
Still, experts say immigration likely will not top Biden's to-do list because of the raging coronavirus pandemic that continues to batter the U.S. economy and take American lives. Alina Barros, VOA News, Washington.
You'll find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia, visiting us on Facebook, and stopping by our VOAnews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit VOAnews.com. South Korea, Japan, Indonesia record highest daily increases in COVID cases. Taiwan relations in focus as President-elect Biden charts China policy. Four die in Pakistan Army helicopter crash. Uyghur diaspora hails removal of East Turkestan Islamic Movement from U.S. terror list. U.S. designation of Vietnam as currency manipulator could spur talks and changes, analysts say. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington as we continue with VOA Asia. To many people, classical music evokes images of European musical masters, like Mozart slaving over their symphonies. But the world of classical music is much wider, as Warren Kanachamchuan reports.
Michael Emnett, a senior at Ohio's Kent State University, is always on the lookout for new music. But when he joined the university's Thai ensemble, the economics major got a little more than he expected.
My first, like, probably 3 days that I was here, I was just playing. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Emnett wasn't alone. Other ensemble members shared his sentiment.
I hadn't heard Thai classical music before, so it was definitely a culture shock. I really didn't understand it, to be frank. But after I was able to get inside the ensemble, it just made so much sense, and I really have a great appreciation for it now.
Thai ensembles are rare in America. Kent State was founded in 1978, and today, the university is one of only three in the U.S. to offer Thai classical music studies. Students learn to play percussion and wind instrument for pipat, an ensemble used to accompany traditional Thai dramas and dances.
Set, go. Bam, ding, da, dam, da.
Praiwan Nanongkam, an ethnomusicologist from Thailand, has been directing the ensemble for 2 decades now. Praiwan fell in love with Thai classical music at a young age and enjoys sharing his passion and knowledge with students here in America.
Studying music is not just notes and melodies. It's a window into people and culture. When they are familiar with Thai music, they will be familiar with Thai people, Thai food, so on and so forth. Music is a subject of love.
But recruiting young Americans sometimes requires powers of persuasion.
It's not easy to find students who want to learn Thai music because they don't know what Thai music is. Secondly, they find it dissonant. But I try to convince them that it will be fun.
Play the previous phrase, the whole phrase.
Some say the Thai ensemble opens them to a global view of classical music.
Classical music isn't just like Beethoven and Bach, like you might think. There's classical music from all around the world, and it sounds nothing like Beethoven and Bach, but it still is like very worthy of your attention.
An in-person concert was out of the question this semester. So the group uploaded a performance of classical Thai pieces to YouTube and Facebook, wrapping up a challenging year on a high note for a larger audience. Warangkana Chomchun, VOA News.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
Now on VOA Asia, COVID has forced many people to become their own hairstylists. VOA's Maxim Moskalkov reports.
2020 became a year of practicality and comfort, and for some people, the year they tried out new hairstyles.
A lot of people aren't blow-drying their hair, aren't flat-ironing their hair, aren't curling their hair. You know, the men aren't using their product. They're trying to do lower-maintenance styles where they're just able to let it air dry and it still look good.
New times dictate new rules, and many decided to experiment with their style.
A lot of my clients are working from home. They're working remote. So, I mean, you can't really see really what someone looks like that much over video.
Another new trend, less is more. Many women are choosing shorter, more daring styles. Interestingly, after the 1918 flu pandemic, the trend was also shorter hair.
Now the women are coming in and they're like, chop it completely off for multiple reasons. I don't know when I'll be able to come back in. I have time to grow it out if I don't like it because I'm not seeing anybody. And I'm ready for something new because of this pandemic.
Natural hair is the new go-to style as well. Women embrace the hair they have, not trying to curl their straight hair or straighten their curls.
I hated their curls. They never knew what to do with them. And now I really see a trend. And that's been a while of just really embracing natural hair, textured hair, curly hair.
Many Americans, not wanting to expose themselves and others to any additional risk, prefer to cut their hair at home. And hair trimmers remain up there in the list of Christmas gift ideas. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
COVID-19 was the main protagonist in the film industry during 2020. This nefarious character dominated the saga of Hollywood's struggles at the box office, with moviegoers staying home and theater chains going bust. On the plus side, films focused on stories about minorities and gender equality, reflecting the diversity of moviegoing audiences. VOA's Penelope Palou has more.
We're trying to prevent World War III.
I'm not saying Armageddon here.
No. Something worse.
Tenet, a mind-boggling sci-fi by award-winning director Christopher Nolan, could have been one of the year's blockbusters had it not been for the pandemic's virulent effect on movie theaters. Hailed for its special effects and intelligent plot, the film was released theatrically last spring to scant audiences.
How would you like to die?
Old.
You chose the wrong profession.
Tenet saw lackluster earnings grossing $300 million worldwide, allowing the studio to barely recoup its more than $200 million production costs. The film's cautionary tale urged Warner Brothers and other studios to either postpone their productions or release their blockbusters to theaters and streaming simultaneously. One of those is Wonder Woman 1984, the Warner Brothers superhero sequel by filmmaker Patty Jenkins, starring Gal Gadot, is playing both on the large screen and on TV for HBO Max subscribers. Warner Brothers announced all of its 2021 blockbusters will open on HBO Max and movie theaters at the same time. Streaming networks have been gaining power in the movie industry for some time now, but the streaming surge during lockdown has created tectonic shifts in the movie industry, with networks such as HBO Max, Disney Plus, Netflix, and Amazon flexing their economic muscles. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
We're glad you were with us today for VOA Asia. Stay with us online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'd like to thank those who help bring this program to you, our managing editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.